How many people are over the age of 50? 60? You were a kid in the 60s and 70s. I was, early 70s. How many of you knew that, and I remember these kids at Brownsburg High School who were really, they were bullies, they were rough. And one day they came to, I wonder if Kathy remembers, they came to school with Jesus t-shirts on. And to me, they were the least people. I thought they were making a joke, but they weren't. At that time, there was a movement coming through the country, and I don't think the church even realized it, recognized it. The traditional church even made fun of it. They criticized it because people were getting baptized with their rough clothes and stuff out in the ocean by a man named Pastor Chuck Smith. And a lot of people criticize it, but that movement actually was more powerful than you know. And I was saved during that time and saw some of that. I know Bill and Nancy were too, and some of you were. And it had such an effect even on secular society that even our music, you know, we had rock stations and all that. You know, a lot of it was AM radio back then. But all of a sudden, Jesus songs started popping up on the radio. You guys remember that? And some of them went all the way to number one, like this one. And we're going to start with Ecclesiastes 3, 1 through 8. I'm not going to read it. I want to hear it in a song. And if you guys are going to recognize this old song, sing to it. And you're going to wonder, you're going to think, I didn't know that was something right out of the Bible. This song went all the way to number one. Dave, kick it in. Recognize it? See, this is Ecclesiastes 1 through 8. And it's okay to sing to it. Everything, turn, turn, turn. Crank it up a little more. And a time to every purpose. And you can follow it in your Bible. How many of you back then knew that was right out of the Bible? Did you know that? I didn't. I just thought it was a cool song, you know. Time to every purpose under heaven. That was during the time of the Vietnam War. There was a lot of unrest in our country in a different way than we see now. But how refreshing. And this is what the Spirit of God does. I mean, He permeates all areas of society. And you imagine this, a number of these kind of songs got on the radio, and some of them went all the way to number one. I wonder if a song right out of the Bible today would hit number one. I don't know. But see, a move of God would do that. A move of God would do that. The message title today is Living in God's Timing. If you haven't guessed, Living in God's Timing. And so in 1 Corinthians 14:40, it also says this. Let all things be done decently and in what, church? Order. Decently and in order. How many of you know we have a very orderly God that has everything? God is perfect in every way. God's timing is perfect in every way, and He does things perfect. For instance, we just saw astronauts go out around the moon and back. And let me give you some statistics here. And I could give a lot more, but just to kind of let you think of the perfection of God in the earth and our solar system. The earth has a slight tilt and teeters like a top as it spins. Because the moon's stabilizing effect on our orbit, our climate is steady. Did you know that? The regularity and frequency of day and night on this planet go far to prevent extreme temperatures and encourage life. Our planet is blessed with a strong, stable magnetic field, which staves off the cosmic rays and solar flares that come from the sun that would otherwise fry the planet every now and then. Of course, we can't discount the importance of the ozone layer. The atmosphere is filled with oxygen, and without that, there would be no life as we know it on this planet. Venus and Mars are close to the Earth, but our solar system as a whole is in the middle of nowhere because we're far from the major spiral arms of the Milky Way. We're in a lot less danger of running afoul of some greater star's gravitational pull, among other hazards. Our sun is a yellow dwarf, a relatively rare type of star that's both small and stable in comparison to the rest of the galaxy. The Earth is positioned in the exact and perfect distance to allow life as we know it to exist. If it were off just a little bit, we would die one way or the other, too hot, too cold. Sure, the sun and moon are great, but there's another soldier on the battlefield to help make Earth habitable, and that's the planet Jupiter. In general, gas giants tend to clump up near their home stars, but because they're toward the outside of our solar system, their intense gravity, namely Jupiter, conveniently catches wayward asteroids and comets. They get sucked into Jupiter's orbit and bypass the Earth, in other words, making meteorite hits that could wipe out life rare. Did you know that? So, God's an orderly God. He had these things all planned out. We read, though, in Bible prophecy, the time will come where He will end that. We will see stars that will fall from heaven, probably giant meteorites that will end up hitting us in Bible prophecy in the judgment of God. And God and people ask me, Kevin, are you pre-trib, post-trib, mid-trib? I say, I'm pre-wrath. So just think about that. We're out of here before the wrath of God hits. I do know the devil's going to rise up and really persecute the church because he knows his time is short. But I want to ask you what I just read. Do you think this was all an accident? No. And people just believe in a big bang and it just all haphazardly. There was no God behind it, no intelligent thought. They need to get their head examined, really and truly, even if you look at even the intricate things of nature out here. So it was not all an accident, and I believe accidents are not from God. You think about it. You think God causes cars, people to get drunk out on the highway, cross the center line, and hit and wipe out an entire family? Do you think that's God? If you do, my theology is a little different than yours. It's a lot different because my Bible says it's the thief that comes except to steal and to kill and to destroy. And Jesus said, I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. So we have an enemy that's out to destroy us. So no, I don't think accidents are from God. Now God can take accidents in what Satan has done and turn it on its head and work it for good if you give it to him, right? But I don't believe God causes accidents. He's just not that kind of a God. He's decent and in order. So, have you heard the saying, being at the right place at the right time versus being at the wrong place at the wrong time? How many of you have been at the right place at the right time? How many of you have been at the wrong place at the wrong time? See, it's happened to all of us, hasn't it? Do you believe that God can help you be more at the right place at the right time instead of the wrong place at the wrong time? Do you believe that? Do you believe He desires that? Because if you don't believe He desires that, you're not going to get anything out of this message. I believe He doesn't want you to be at the wrong place at the wrong time. And I believe there's things written in the Bible to help and guide you to not let that happen. We always call this good luck and bad luck. Well, it's deeper than that. Bad luck is often being at the wrong place at the wrong time. Good luck's being at the right place at the right time. But really and truly, that God is behind all that. He really is. So luck, we used to always say luck meant, L-U-C-K, living under Christ's care with a K. How about that? So God's behind all that. The right place at the right time can save your life from disasters. This is why the word of knowledge from the Holy Spirit is very important. Is a very important gift of the Holy Spirit. What does that mean? Maybe you're heading a certain direction, and God starts giving you a word of knowledge. Stop, go back, do this, go this way, go that way. And you find out later it's a good thing He did. Now, there's some people out there listening today that believe that God doesn't speak directly to us like that anymore, that we have to get it out of John chapter 4, verse 9. Now, John chapter 4, verse 9 is wonderful, people. I don't know what that says. But I can tell you, we have the Holy Spirit in us that speaks as well. If I hadn't heard the voice of the Lord, I wouldn't be standing here today. I remember years ago going home from work, and I worked downtown at the time, and I came up by 65. Kathy knows this trip well from working that same direction. Come up, only I would come across the north side, and I'd get on 865 heading towards Thorntown. And I remember the roads changed to solid ice. You ever been out on the highway and it turned to black ice and you didn't know it? Now here we are out on 865, which is that little branch between 465 and I-65. And all of a sudden, I was seeing cars off in the ditch. And, you know, good for me, because I drive slow anyway. But I realized, oh, gosh, something's wrong. And I realized the road was very slick. And it wasn't long before I saw a lady that had wrecked her car. And she was sitting along the guardrail along the highway. And I gently pulled off to the right side to see if she was okay. And I got out of my car, and I wasn't thinking, because it really is dangerous. When you're out on the, little tip, when you're out on the interstate like that and there's cars coming, you're not safe walking along that road, especially when the road's ice. But nevertheless, I walked up in my young life, went up to the driver's side, and she was shook up, but she was okay. And I said, ma'am, you know, I wouldn't move. You know, this is pretty rough, or maybe we need to maybe get on the other side of the guardrail. And I no sooner got that out of my mouth, all of a sudden the voice of the Lord, as plain as I'm talking to you, said, get behind the car now. Now, had I just stood around and go, God, can you run that by me again? You know, it was an urgent plea from the Holy Spirit. So I stopped talking to her, and I shuffled my feet and got around behind the car. Didn't understand it. And then I heard a noise. A car was spiraling out of control right at me. And that car went right around me and slammed right into the driver's side where I was just standing.
Oh my God.
That was the wrong place at the wrong time had I stayed there. But I was at the right place at the right time because a word of knowledge from the Holy Ghost said, get around behind the car now. And I obeyed. Now, the woman was still okay, but it shook her up, and I saw her roll down her window on the passenger side, crawl out the window, and get out on the driver's side. It was a bad day. But that's just an example of how the Lord can change your path, guide your steps, so that you are now no longer at the wrong place at the wrong time. Timing is everything. God is a God of timing. My goodness, I'm going to go off on a train. I've got my nephew, Michael, here today. He just so happened to be home one day when a guy came off the interstate. You could probably tell this story better than me. I'm always putting you on the spot every time you show up at church. You want me to try to tell this story? Oh my gosh, you'll probably have to correct me. Anyway, he doesn't always at home during that time where, you know, his mom was. This guy came off the interstate on drugs, I guess. He was a drug addict. Here, tell the story. Come on up here. Come on up here. You're not afraid to get up in front of people. That's why I know. This is being at the right place at the right time. Listen to this story.
I want to say I'm in no way some kind of tough guy, so don't think about this in the story. But I go to work every day. We leave around 7:50, and I just decided to stop at my mom's house that day to get a cup of coffee before I went. And my daughter's usually there. She wasn't there. I had really no reason to be there. My brother was home upstairs. He missed his first day of work in like 3 years, I think. He had to call in sick. And my boss called me and said, hey, he's like, I'm not picking you up right now. He's like, give me about a half hour because we're going to start late. We got some stuff going on. I'm like, huh. So I just sit next to my mom. We were having a cup of coffee, you know, just talking about life, whatever. And my mom has these three little yappy dogs. And if you have small dogs that yap, you know, there's two barks. There's the annoying bark, and then there's the, oh, there's someone here bark. And those the little barks turn into like someone's here bark. And so I just stood up to see who it was. And there was a man in a ski mask coming out of dead sprint to my mom's door. And some of you may not know this about me, but I'm a purple belt in Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, and I've trained martial arts for about 10 years. So sometimes you see a guy in a ski mask and you think, oh, there's the boogeyman. Well, I think he ran into the boogeyman that day. So he came barging in the door, and he grabbed me by the shirt and he said, let me in the house now. And I turned to my mom. I don't know what I was saying. And I turned to my mom. I go, do you know this guy? And she goes, do you know this guy? I'm like, no. And he said, you're going to let me in this house. And he grabbed me by the collar of my jacket. And he started to swing his hand into his coat. And I thought he was getting a gun. And so at that moment, I looked at my mom. And I grabbed both hands on his shirt. And I said, mom, you better call the police. And so I grabbed him and did some ninja stuff, you know. And I flipped him onto the steps and I held him down, and I stopped him, and he immediately starts saying, please don't kill me, you know. And I said, I don't know what I was saying. I was like, what are you doing here in my mom's house? You know, I was screaming at him. I was like, do you have any idea? You just about got yourself killed by me. And I said, I don't even have any weapons on me, you know. And then next thing, my brother comes down. Again, it was my brother. He missed his first day of work in a couple years, and he was packing some heat. So we were all right. And it wasn't a threat. There wasn't a threat. And, you know, then he ended up, my mom comes out the door. And if you know my mom, she's very, like, she freaks out about everything. She freaks out. She goes, Michael, please don't kill him. Don't hurt him. Don't hurt him. You know. And then he goes, my name's Michael. And she's like, I'm not talking to you. It was really fun. It was very scary, but it was just the way everything played out that day. You know, if my mom would have been there by herself, I know she probably would have gotten hurt. But, you know, I wasn't. I was so thankful to be there, and I was thankful for my training that was able to, you know, subdue the guy. Because at the end of the day, you don't want to hurt these people either. They're humans, and he has a mom who ended up, you know, was really worried about him. He stole his father's car. So, you know, his life was spared that day, and my family's life was spared that day. And I thank God for that, really. But
you were at the right place, at the right place, at the right time. Just so happened, he's not normally there like that. Imagine that guy just busting. He picked a random house in Lisdon, came off the interstate, a random house to just break into, to rob or do whatever. And just so happened, he ran into the wrong guy. But you know, he was at the wrong place at the wrong time, and Michael was at the right place at the right time. The right place at the right time, people, can cause you to be a success in life. Did you know that? Talking to the person just at the right time for a job. You just so happened to be there and they needed you. Or another opportunity in life. The right place at the right time can put you in contact with the one God wants you to be with in marriage. And a lot of people don't wait for the right place at the right time there. I can go on and on. being at the wrong place at the wrong time causes just the opposite in your life. And I won't give those bad examples because we won't glorify the enemy who causes bad timing. He really does. He's behind bad timing. How do I know this? Psalm 37:23 says this: "The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delights in his way." God wouldn't delight in your way to lead you to destruction. He delights in your way because he causes your steps to be at perfect timing where you need to be to see the right people you need to talk to, sometimes even about the Lord. How many of you had that happen? God had you set by a certain person on a plane or whatever, and you were there at the right time. The wrong time is the opposite. I pray for the right timing even on sermons and teachings. I got a whole, you go into my office, and my office is an open door. I don't care. You can go through there and look through my crazy filing system. Just don't disrupt my crazy filing system. But you can see lots of file cabinets full of sermons. And I look through sermons, some of which I've been preaching over 40 years. And I often look, and you know, when you're pastoring, a pastor position in the fivefold ministry feeds the sheep, guides the sheep. And I look, and I first, and if I got something fresh from the Lord, I don't need to look because he's given me something fresh. Sometimes I go through there and say, what do they need? Is there anything here that they're lacking in their diet? And sometimes I'll preach from a sermon that's 30-some years old. You won't even know it. Maybe you will. I don't know. But you know what? Timing. I pray for the right. I have to have the right timing in sermons. I don't know who's going to be here. God does. I don't know who's going to need to hear this message today. And if you're listening online today, maybe you did not turn this on by accident. Maybe you've not heard our church before, but somehow you got us this morning. So keep listening. Just like the time that I had to be at the church, I didn't know that I had to be at a church in Mississippi one time when I did. I was just heading up from, I had family down there, and I was heading up from southern Mississippi, and there was an older fellow, I've told this story in here, I don't know how many times, some of you have not heard it, but there was this old fellow walking along the road. It was into the evening, starting to get dark, and it was kind of misty, rainy, and I felt sorry for him, and I pulled over in my little pickup truck that now has 326,000 miles on it. But I picked this guy up, and because he needed a ride. I said, you need help. And he gets in. He wasn't very talkative. And I said, where are you going? He goes, well, I'm going north of Jackson. I said, well, I'm heading up that way. I'll take you all the way. And he didn't say much, and it wasn't long where I felt this strange presence in the truck. Not like I was in danger. Used to be back in time, I picked up every single hitchhiker going, and I got robbed a few times. I could start praying for God's timing on that, you know. But this was God's timing. I didn't know this who this older fellow was, and he didn't say much. And as we got approached off into the distance, Jackson, Mississippi, and I could see the lights of the city and the city up there, and we were driving, and I thought, okay, I'm going to let this guy off on the other side of Jackson. And as I was heading towards Jackson, I looked at him just about 5 seconds, because you don't take your eyes off the road that long. And I said, it looks like Jackson's up ahead. And he didn't say a word. And I looked back, and I suddenly couldn't see Jackson, Mississippi. It wasn't there anymore. Now, I didn't take a turn this way or that way in the road. I mean, I looked, didn't see Jackson. And it was really strange to me. I said, I thought I just saw Jackson. And he goes, you did, sir, but we are now north of Jackson, and this is where I get out. And now I'm freaking out at that point. I'm wondering, how am I on the other side of Jackson? There was no way, the way I drive and everything, that I was on the other side of Jackson. And I looked in the rearview mirror and looked behind me, and it was behind me. Now, I thought, did I just have a mental lapse? Did I blank out? What happened here? I couldn't understand it. So I let him out. And I went on up the road a ways and drove a little while further, and then it came time to stop. And I seen this little motel in this little town, and I thought, looks like it's going to be, I won't have to spend an arm and a leg just to sleep and get a shower. I'll stop here. And I stopped, and I noticed there was a church across the road, a little storefront church, and it looked like there were cars out there like they were having service. And I thought, you know, I think I won't just sit in here tonight. I'll go over there and check this little church out. And when I went to go over there, the Lord said, I want you to take all those booklets that I told you to bring on this trip, which did not make sense to me. There was about 50 in all, Jehovah Witness, How to Witness to a Jehovah Witness, yellow booklets. Now, I'm trying to figure out why I got where I got so quickly on the other side of Jackson. It was just as if I was translated. I didn't feel a thing. I was just there. Why I was up there. Now I'm going into this church and God's saying, bring these booklets. I thought, am I going to walk right into the middle of a JW church, Jehovah Witness church? Well, it wasn't. It was a little church just like ours. It was not very big, and they were praising and worshiping God, and I felt right at home. And I come carting all these books in there and set in one of the seats, and trying to figure out the whole evening, like, what is this about, Lord? What's going on here? Well, it was about his timing. Just like when he translated Philip out of witnessing to the Ethiopian eunuch back where there was some timing Philip had to meet. Well, I didn't know it. I'm sitting there, and this guy gets up in church, and he starts testifying. They start testifying. He said, praise God, I've been called. God has called me to witness to Jehovah Witness people. And I thought, oh, that's interesting. And he says, I want you all to pray in here because I'm looking for some good literature on how to witness to a Jehovah Witness. Now, there I am with a book with that very title. 50 copies. And so I stand up, and you know, a stranger comes into church, you never know what they're going to say or do, but I can imagine what they were thinking when I stood up. But I told them the whole story, how I was south of Jackson, then I was north of Jackson, how I was from Indiana, and I just stopped over there, and God told me to bring these in, and I held up those books, How to Witness to a Jehovah Witness, and that whole church had a Holy Ghost party. They started dancing all around the church, praising God. God's timing, perfect timing. He knows I drive slow. He's probably had to get me up the highway. That's probably why that happened. I often joke with Stephanie about that. Yeah, perfect timing. Right at the right split second, all that happened, I was there. I wouldn't have been there had I not went from the south side of Jackson about 30 miles up the highway in 5 seconds. Figure it out. I used to never tell anybody about that. I thought they'd think I was nuts. But you know what? I don't care now. I'm old. I don't know how much more time I got. I'm going to testify of his mighty works, not withholding them. He does what he does. The day I was in Guatemala and we were all driving to get our bath, we didn't have any showers out in our little village or hot running water. We had to drive 20 miles to a mountainside where a hot springs come down the mountain, and they had built little bathhouses where people could go in and get cleaned up. And we're driving on over there, and we're all dirty, and I bring all these Spanish tracts with me because I'm trying to get them all in people's hands to witness the most I can. So I'm throwing them out the van windows at people walking up the road, and they're bending down and picking them up. And here was this one guy walking really slow, kind of a taller guy, and he looked kind of different. I pitched one at him, and he picked it up, and I didn't think anything about it. We got on to the bathhouse place, and here come this man walking up. And he goes to the people I'm with, the group that I'm with, the mission group, and he goes, I want to know who threw this one. And he spoke English, which was rare out there in those villages. And they go, he did. Thank you, my fellow Christians. He walks over to me, and he says, did you throw this at me? And I said, yes, I did. I want you to read it. And he looks at me right in the eye, and he spoke English pretty good. I could understand. And he said, are you a Christian? I thought, confess or deny. I don't know what he's going to do to me. I said, yes, I am. And he goes, I'm hungry. I haven't ate for days. So I reached in my pocket and I pulled out some quetzales, which is Guatemalan money. And I went to hand them to him and he grabbed it out of my hand. Snatch. And he goes, I test you to see if you're real. Then the man softened up and began to pour his heart out to me. You see, back in those days, and Merrill, if he was still here, he could testify to this. In the 70s and 80s, civil war was going on in Guatemala. There were people coming in from Cuba that Russia was funding to try to overthrow the government, and they called them guerrillas, and they were out in the mountains of Guatemala, and they were fighting with the Guatemalan troops, and sometimes the Guatemalan troops would break off and join them. It was terrible. This guy came from Cuba, and he told me his story, how he didn't like what he was doing, and he was very sad. He wanted to be home, and he hated doing what they told him to do, and he didn't want to be there. And it was a very special moment at a perfect time where I could witness the gospel to him, and he received, and he was so grateful. Right at that moment, that split second, that time in history, that guy needed the gospel. He needed hope in his life. I don't know whatever happened to that man, but I'm trusting to see him in heaven someday. This is timing, and it's important. It can mean life or death to people. So what do you do when timing seems all wrong? Do you put this in God's hands for him to readjust or override the bad timing? Obviously, I had to think about this message all week because somehow I had bad timing last week. I thought, isn't this just like the devil? Because somewhere, maybe Walmart or wherever, I came across somebody with a germ. And I caught it. And I'm thinking, and the devil's trying to condemn me. Yeah, Kevin, you're going to preach about timing. How was your timing there? I want you to know something. All the while the devil tried to condemn me, the Holy Spirit was pulling me closer. And I was seeing the love of God in my family. I was seeing the love of God in people I know. But God spoke to me over and over. And he took that time to ground me and shut me down. He took what the devil tried to do, and he poured a lot into me. I even got another message called Temporary Thorns in the Flesh. I'm going to talk to you about someday. But it was not a bad, it was a bad week in the flesh, but it was a great week in the spirit. So whatever the devil tried to do, he's not condemning me. I'm preaching this message. It's true. But that does go to show you that he can direct your path different, so that doesn't happen to you, right? I mean, there's a timing. I remember in the scripture where Martha said to Jesus, Lord, if you had been here, my brother wouldn't have died. She had a brother named Lazarus who was sick. And did you know the Lord knew that? And he waited. He waited for Lazarus to die. Now, that doesn't sound real thrilling, does it? We didn't know Jesus was like that. Well, Jesus had something even better in mind. And if he delays a healing, he's going to bring a greater glory when he heals. Because Lazarus, being dead 4 days, he called him right out of that grave and did a bigger miracle than what could have happened. So God knew what was going to happen. But she thought Jesus had bad timing. He did not. God always has perfect timing. Remember that when you pray and your prayers don't get answered right away. But this shows me there's a perfect timing for God's healing to manifest when we pray for it and command it to happen. That's why we walk by faith and not by sight. So what do you do when timing seems all wrong? Do you put this in God's hands for him to readjust or override the bad timing? I had to do that last week. And boy, did he bless me. I'm telling you, spiritually, I gained a lot last week. We should apply, if you find yourself at the wrong place at the wrong time, and you don't know why, and you're in confusion, this is what you do. Romans 8:28, and we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. Whatever the devil throws at you, even if your timing was off, maybe you missed God somewhere along the line, and you knew it, this still applies if you give it to him. If you don't give it to him, then you're on your own. Give the bad timing to God. And I'm going to show you a video here, and it's about 10 minutes, I think, but I still want to show it. I'm not going to be concerned about the time because my sermon isn't that long today. But this was a very serious situation. What happens if you feel like your timing's wrong? You get on a plane, and something goes wrong on the plane, and you're wondering why you're sitting in that plane, or worse. I'm going to show you a very heart-rendering story about a plane where people were on it, and they were all going to go to Hawaii, going to be many people having a wonderful time out there. And the plane was at LAX. It was Continental Flight 603. And what was going to be a wonderful holiday, the plane went up the runway, and something went wrong in the wheels, hydraulics, and the plane crashed. It caught fire. And I'm going to show you that, and I'm going to tell you right straight up that someone in this church was on that plane. And I'll let you know, a lot of you know who, but we're going to talk about that. What seemed to be bad timing, but it really was not. So go ahead and kick that in where it says plane crash, and we're going to watch it. There's no talking, so read the captions. Now that's a simulation there. The real pictures are coming. Now these are real pictures here. Thank you. Okay, you can turn that off. You may say to yourself, I'm a Christian. Why was I on that plane? Sometimes you feel you're at the wrong place at the wrong time. But even in that, you have to put it in God's hands. Yes, somebody here was on that plane. And that was Donna. God spared her life, her and Merrill's and their son. I hope I've showed that twice now. I hope that don't bother you, but her life was spared. And that was their first, they were going to Hawaii. Her son had never been on a plane before, but they all got out of that alive. Donna, what do you think?
God is good all the time.
It reminds me, the Apostle Paul was called and he went out. Bad storm happened. The ship broke up. He had to float to shore on a board. But God had his hand on Paul. God did not send that storm and cause that ship to break up, but he knew what was going to happen and he knew that Paul was going to be there. So sometimes at the wrong place at the wrong time, may not be. So when things don't make sense, you still put it in the hands of the Lord. They were at the right place on that plane. They got out. Even the slide malfunctioned and they had to come, you know, Donna went down and Merrill came down and landed right on top of her. He hit me in the back with his feet, she said. Merrill gave a word of knowledge to her before they even took off or got the trip. He said he felt like something was going to go wrong, but they were going to be okay. Now, I probably would have said to Merrill, let's take another flight. The steps of a good man are still ordered by the Lord, people. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God and to those who are called according to his purpose. And sometimes, when our timing seems wrong, you find out later it was exactly right. Gosh, the day, I'm going to tell one more story because I have a lot of them. Oh my goodness, Kathy remembers this one. Her ex-husband Jet's dad, we had a funeral. And they were going to go to a little town in, outside of, down in southern Illinois, out in the middle of nowhere. And I wanted to be there. I knew I wasn't going to make the funeral, but I could go to the gravesite service. I lived in Evansville at the time. I pulled it up. I just got my GPS unit. I was all excited about it, and it was kind of neat how it would just route you here and there. So I left 2 hours early and took all the back roads to get there just for fun to see where it was going to take me. And I didn't know that they had a lot of flooding in Illinois. And I kept running into one closed road after the other and had to turn around. Pretty soon I ate up the whole 2 hours and I was really mad. I was frustrated. And I thought, I'm not going to make it to this gravesite at all. And I was upset because I figured I'd played around and now my timing was way off. And I knew, I really believe the Lord wanted me there. And so I kept trying and finally, by this time I'm a half hour late and I'm thinking that gravesite's probably done by now. But I still kept trying to get there, and I finally made my way around all the flooding, and I pulled up on this blacktop road to another road, and I thought, gosh, I'm only a mile away now from this gravesite, but they're probably gone. I'll just go there anyway. And I looked up the road, and there was a long line of cars, and I thought, what are all these cars doing way out in the country? And normally I would have waited, but I thought, I'm going to gun it and get in front of get to this gravesite. So I did, and I made a left turn, and all the cars behind me made a left turn. I made a right turn, all the cars behind me made a right turn. I thought, what is going on here? This is really weird. Who are these people out here? You know, because I have a lot of weird situations, you know that. And I pulled into the graveyard, and they all pulled in the graveyard behind me. And I thought, what on earth? Guess what it was? It was the funeral procession. They got lost, too. I pulled up right at the road at the exact time that they were coming up the road and they were lost. And Kathy said, there's my brother's truck. Follow him. He knows where he's going. Right, Kathy? I didn't know where I was. You tell me the odds of that happening. Just at the right time, we met at the same intersection. And I got in front of them. I didn't even know that was them coming. And I led them right into the graveyard, and they weren't lost anymore. And I guess I was the hero, although I was, you know. But the thing is, that was his timing. I can just see God up there chuckling at me because he has foreknowledge of what's ahead. Kevin, I'm going to put you right at the right place at the right time where you need to be. The odds of that were astronomical, weren't they, Kathy? Did you think I was sitting there waiting all for all you guys? I did. It was really strange. All right, I'm gonna close this out. He has made everything beautiful in its time. He has put eternity in their hearts, except that no one can find out the work that God does from beginning to end. Ecclesiastes 3:11. Do you know there is a reason you were born at this time in history? You just might be the generation that sees the end of all things, the second coming of Jesus Christ, the rapture of the glorious church. You may be even alive to experience that. 1 Thessalonians 4:13 through 18. You may experience this, church. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, and with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. And yes, God has a timing. The Father has a timing for this that Jesus didn't even know when he walked this earth. But he surely has a time for it, and he will do it. If you're listening to me today and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, it is time to get born again. God has you in this time for a divine reason, church, a very important reason. Do you remember Esther, who had to plead for her people? And if it wasn't for her, they would have been killed, and she could have even died herself. But this is what she said in Esther 4:14. For if you remain completely silent at this time, relief and deliverance will arise for the Jews from another place, but you and your father's house will perish. And then she says a most amazing statement. Yet who knows whether you have come to the kingdom for such a time as this. This is out of the book of Esther. She was placed there for just a time to plead for her people. You are placed here at this time in history to plead for the lost to get saved. You don't have time to mess around. God says, and you don't want to keep saying, oh, well, it's for later on, it's for later on. I've heard people say how much they need to witness, and they keep putting it off, and they keep putting it off. And this is what Bible says. It says, now is the time. For he saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation have I secured thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. If you do not know Jesus Christ, this is your time. Don't put it off. Don't wait. Because if you wait, your heart could get cold and you may never come to him. When a farmer goes out to get crops, he can't go out and pick them ahead of its time. He can't go out there and pick them after they've all rotted in the field. There's a certain time they're ready, and when they're ready, it happens. And the fields right now are ready to be harvested. We cannot waste time. You guys should have known I was headed for this. If you're not saved today, and you're watching online, or you're in this room, everybody bow your heads, and you're going to pray with me, because my Bible says, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. His name is Jesus. Jesus Christ is the Lord. And if you call on that name, you'll be saved. So let's do it. Let's not put it off. If you're here today, and you've been putting it off, or you didn't mean it, let's do it now. If you're watching me today online, let's not put it off. Wherever you're at, don't say, no, I got to be ready. Now is your time. So pray with me. Say this after me. Lord Jesus, I thank you for this message. I am hearing it for a reason. at the right place at the right time. I believe, Jesus, your word. And if you said that if I called on you, on your name, I would be saved. So, Jesus, I'm calling on you for that wonderful salvation that you provided for me when you went to the cross and shed your blood. I believe you have risen from the dead and you conquered death on my behalf. So, Jesus, I call on you to save you, to save me right now. For now is the time of my salvation. And I thank you, Jesus, because you do not lie. You keep your word. So thank you for saving me today. In your name, Jesus, I pray. Amen.